Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hi, John Schwab here from Curtain Call, and welcome to episode 81 of the Curtain Call Theater Podcast, the podcast that brings you backstage as close as you possibly can be, often while the shows are actually happening, to meet the people that make that theater happen. You can find all of our episodes on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and other fine podcast streaming services, so go back there and fill your boots, and if you have a spare 30 seconds or so, just please rate and review the podcast to help us be more discoverable to listeners who haven't heard about us yet. And now for this week's podcast. Long Day's Journey Into Night, Eugene O'Neill's American classic about a family dealing with the relentless struggle that is addiction, just finished a highly successful run at the Wyndham's Theater after transferring from Bristol Old Vic. And, well, that did take a while, nearly 2 years, but it finally got here to London. And this isn't the end of the journey for Journey. See what I did there? The entire company are packing up and heading to the Brooklyn Academy of Music for the month of May before heading west to the Wallace Center in L.A. for the month of June. So for those of you listening on either coast, try and get your tickets now or get in line and wait for returns. You will not be disappointed. In this episode, I got to talk to the play's five performers, Leslie Manville, Jeremy Irons, Rory Keenan, Matthew Beard, and Jessica Regan. I mean, that was quite a journey for the play, and okay, all right, I'm going to keep doing this, aren't I? I apologize, but it is, I suppose it is a journey. I wanted to get a sense of how each of the players came to encounter this classic for the first time. Have a listen.
Kind of first of all, what was your first encounter with this play, Long Day's Journey? You know, a lot of people on this, it's their first kind of encounter with it. I haven't read it, but it maybe not have seen it before. But
I saw Olivier when I was playing in this theatre 40 years ago. 45 years ago. I saw Olivier do it at that theatre.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was playing here in Godspell, and I saw the matinee over there, and that was the first time I saw it.
I suppose we have a similar theatrical history, Americans and Irish being, you know, as particularly with O'Neill. So yeah, it was definitely very much one of the ones in the canon that I was very much aware of. I'd never done it before. I'd seen a production in Dublin actually before. Years ago, but I studied drama academically in college in Dublin, and I think we did study it, or at least read it in college. So I'd worked with Richard before, and happily I didn't have to audition, because there's no guarantee that I would have got it if I did audition. But he asked me to come along, and I was delighted to do it. But yeah, it's always been one of those plays that it has that kind of weird, that brilliant dual thing for an actor, which is that it's got this incredible kind of theatrical history, and also it's very performance friendly, if you like. I mean, it's very verbose, we know that.
But
the more of that, great. I mean, for actors, I suppose, because it gives you a lot.
I was aware of this play. I think I caught a very old version of it on television many moons ago, but thank goodness I was aware of it, because I had a hunch there was an Irish maid in it. And when I saw it announced in an interview with Leslie Manville, she said, next year I'm going to be doing Long Day's Journey Into Night with Richard Eyre, and I'd worked with Richard before, and I was coming out of a long television job, and I thought, well, I think Richard Eyre might be looking for an Irish maid. So I sent him a very cheeky email saying, I hear you're looking for a buxom peasant, because that's how she's described in
Excellent.
The thing. And he delightfully offered me the role.
Yeah, no, I hadn't read it. And I hadn't read any Eugene O'Neill at all. I'd heard of him.
Yeah. Obviously.
But he doesn't have the same, we don't, well, I don't know. But very few schools study him here, you know.
Right.
We're too wrapped up in our Shakespeare and our...
Well, if you got Shakespeare...
Yeah, you know, I guess cling on to what you got. But, so, yeah, I mean, his name had always been battered around. I did English literature at university as well, so, you know, his name cropped up.
Perfect.
On several times. But no, I never read any of the plays. I have to say, even when I read this, I didn't immediately get what the big deal was.
Mm.
But I'm sort of finding out that that seems to be true of a lot of great plays. It's not until I started doing it out loud.
Well, I saw Jack Lemmon do it, actually.
Right.
But I was really young. I was probably about, 16 or 17. And apparently Kevin Spacey was one of the boys. I don't know which one. But I don't remember an awful lot about it. So it wasn't on my radar for those reasons. But it came on my radar when Richard Eyre and I were doing Ghosts. And he said to me then, when we were doing Ghosts, would I like to play Mary Tyrone? So I had a look at it. And by that point, I sort of trusted him implicitly, really, because what he did with Ghosts, I mean, he didn't adapt this, obviously, but what he did with Ghosts, with the adaptation and what we achieved with it, with the production, was so, you know, extraordinary and one of the best things on stage I'd ever done. It's one of those things where you sort of almost think yes without reading it, you know. I mean, I knew it was a great, mighty piece of work. Obviously I read it and it was just a no-brainer, really. You know, there was no way. And then Richard and I were sort of on board, as it were, for quite some time. And then, he started to think about Tyrone's and things. Yeah.
Having transferred from Bristol, the London cast introduced two new Tyrone boys, played by Rory Keenan and Matthew Beard. I wanted to find out how it felt to be joining such a well-established cast in such a critically lauded play. I've never had to do that, so I just wanted to get a sense of how it was. And I also asked Jessica Regan what the perspective was like from her side. Have a listen.
But we didn't have much time for table work and stuff, you know. We only had just over 2 weeks rehearsal.
What?
Yeah.
Excuse me?
Yeah. Because Leslie and Jeremy had already done this play in Bristol for about 2 years ago now.
Yeah.
And due to their commitments, and Richard Eyre was finishing his film
of
King Lear. So that left us about a two-week window where we could all be together.
That's pretty astonishing.
Yeah. So we did a run on like day five or something. and then just ran it every day.
Yeah.
And you know, I've only done one play before this, so like, I don't know how it works with other directors, but the director I worked with on that as well was very much up on your feet on day one thing. So, so table work's still a bit of a mystery to me, but, I sort of did it myself beforehand and spent all of Christmas learning the lines, which, you know, especially when you go home for Christmas, you go back to your own family and you're learning the lines for this play. It's like, wow.
You start dissecting.
Yeah, God, it gets,
dinner can get
very dark.
Really quiet. Yeah.
So I didn't really have time to think about stuff like that. You know, the accent, it was just like, just do it and see what happens and wait for that to come later.
Did you do this at Bristol?
No, I didn't. No, I was just asked to come along.
So you had... I heard 2 weeks of rehearsal, that's what I hear? Or
yeah, we had, I think three in total. We had two with the covering cast, which was really helpful, actually, just to bandy it about and hear it and stuff. And actually, what's weird, Richard's great, because as I said, I've worked with him before on a 6 or 7 week rehearsal in the National, that they give you lots of time, obviously, as you know there.
Yeah.
But I didn't feel any more ill-prepared on this one, even though we had 3 weeks. I think it's just the way Richard works. He's an incredibly kind of lean director, in that anything he will only speak when it's absolutely necessary, and he trusts and casts well. So So yeah, it felt really comfortable, and we had loads of previews, and it was kind of, I shouldn't say it, but it all felt very easy.
Yeah,
not for, you know, for such a difficult thing, it felt really easy.
Well, I'm not sure. I just think if it does feel easy, that means it's in sitting in the right place.
Yeah,
you know, you're not trudging through treacle to get
yeah.
to what you feel is the right show. So
exactly,
the rhythms and everything else.
And you know, you can fall back on the play as well.
Yeah.
We know that the play works,
yeah.
and it's a great place, which
yeah.
is a bonus.
It can be difficult when you have new cast members to kind of it's not rebuilding a family, and it's not difficult, but it can be awkward with the guys coming in going, oh, you guys have been together all this time, or no, but it wasn't too...
If anything, it was almost the opposite from the point of view of, like, it felt in Bristol with such a short run, with 3.5 weeks.
That is a short
run. And for you, for this epic play, which you can mine endlessly for new moments... It felt like we were only just getting off the blocks when the run came to an end. So there was a sense that we'd unfinished business,
yeah.
definitely, and that there was a lot more to excavate, basically. And I think Matthew and Rory just entered the process with the most open hearts and fabulous spirits. And Richard Eyre, you know, cast really... good-hearted people, I think. He wants to have a nice time.
Oh, yeah.
We all do, you know.
I think he's paid his dues.
Yeah. I think that he's... I thought with Matt and Rory, you know, they very much kind of... we've all tried to make this feel like a family, and even though I'm Kathleen, you know, she's kind of the outsider in a way, but we are a company of five, and of course our three covers as well, so eight in total. We've tried not to kind of have any sort of tiered situation. I don't think that's particularly healthy, particularly for small kind of intimate casts, and it's such an emotional play. I think you have to kind of be kind to each other, and it's just too hard to not look after each other and show up for each other.
And finally, since it had been 2 years from the Bristol Old Vic run, I wanted to ask the company that played the Old Vic how it was coming back to a role and whether or not anything had changed from that time to the present day. And it's interesting how both Jeremy Irons and Leslie Manville used the same terminology. Have a listen.
You guys look like you're playing and having fun up there. What I'm trying to say is, like, is it just keeps growing night after night, or is it?
It does.
There's such a playful thing. You defend her and then you question her. All these things that you're playing with are very apparent. So, what's the journey been like, kind of from that first time? Still, now you're coming towards the end of this run.
A very difficult. I mean, it's lovely. It's lovely playing it, but. It's very interesting. Olivier said this was the hardest part he'd ever played.
Oh, really?
He played everything.
Yeah.
You know, he played Othello, played Macbeth, he played everything. And it is a very hard part because there is all that snake-like change of dealing with this person who is there sometimes, not there sometimes, partly there sometimes. And I'm talking about Mary.
Yeah.
But I think the important thing is he has to love Mary.
Yeah.
That's the important thing. That's a good... And Leslie is very easy to love. But it's a serpentine... journey.
Yeah.
I mean, you have more solid stuff in Act 4.
Yeah.
And in a way, you know, one of the nice things about the character is, because he's talked about a lot by the rest of the family, and people have their views on him. And, you know, there's no doubt that his way of life is... partially to blame for Mary's situation, and the fact that he had no father after the age of 10 means that he's not a very good father, because he hasn't had a role model, do you know?
Mm.
so it's been, you know, I constantly work at it, refining it, changing it, trying different things. It also helps to keep it fresh.
Yeah, of course.
Because it's mentally quite draining. The whole play is for all of us. You know, when we're tired, when you're, you know, you're not so much physically tired, you're just mentally tired at the end of the week.
Yeah.
And I'm really interested about how you keep runs fresh and how you keep a show alive. And things that don't change die. We know that.
Yeah.
So there always has to be, not big change, because the production is what it is, but just within it, it has to have blood flowing through its veins.
Yeah.
And that's our challenge. You know, doing that 7 times a week.
Doing it very well. I'll let you get to stage. Coming here.
Yeah.
Jeremy and I talked about the different kind of type of space, but also the audience kind of opening this play up and the set being slightly different as well. But has it been fun to come back to Mary
I think the big thing that's happened is that something almost happened without you knowing it. I mean, I it's ended up being nearly 2 years since we did it. But because I always knew I was going to do it again, I think something in the iMac of your brain doesn't erase it. So you hang on to it. And I think it was always, even though I was doing other jobs over those 2 years, I was always thinking about it and returning to it. So for me, it felt like something that had like marinated for 2 years. And I did used to have thoughts about speeches and just different feelings about it. And so when Richard said we were going to A, have different boys, and B, you know, nothing we'd done before had to be repeated, we could rediscover and all of that, I thought, well, that's just great, because that's what I was ready to do. And I think it's sort of, for me, richer and fuller, and I think I've... it's quite personal stuff, actually, but I think I've developed as an actress in the 2 years since I did it. I think I've sort of developed a greater bravery, confidence and bravery. So I've gone even further down the rabbit hole of Mary this time, I think.
Jeremy Irons and Leslie Manville there. Now, before we wrap up, if you're a theater professional, head on over to curtaincallonline.com and sign up for a free profile page. All you have to do is create an account with an email address, make up a cool password, and away you go. You can follow us on all the socials, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Curtain Call. We'd love to hear from you. If you have any suggestions or feedback for the podcast, get in touch with us via any of the social media platforms I just mentioned, or write to me at john@curtaincallonline.com. I have to end here with a massive thank you to Jessica Regan, Matthew Beard, Rory Keenan, Jeremy Irons, and Leslie Manville, and the entire company, everyone at Long Day's Journey Into Night, which is just closed in the West End. If you missed it, I'm sorry, but it is heading to BAM, the Brooklyn Academy of Music, to those not familiar, before it heads on over to the Wallace Center in L.A. And later this week, I will be bringing you another Curtain Call Understudy special with the covers from this show, and it's a great, great listen. Safe travels, everyone. Break legs, and all the best on the American leg of the Long Day's Journey. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Curtain Call Theater Podcast, and I will catch you all next week. Bye.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the Rise Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RiseTheatre.org, because only together we rise.